Hi guys, another peripheral episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we're going to be looking at the top 20 players in fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks and doing a quick check-in, fantasy check-in on three teams, the Charlotte Hornets, the Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, everyone, let's take a look at the top 20 fantasy players over the last 2 weeks. This is done on a per-game basis, as always. Again, looking at those last 2 weeks of action, the number one player over the last 2 weeks is, of course, Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans, averaging 26.5, 12.5, with 3.5 blocks and almost 2 steals. The percentages are back up, and he is back in his rightful position as the number one fantasy guy over this two-week period. Look, this is just who Anthony Davis is, pretty much. And the thing is, in this time, he's shooting just 28% from three. So that's a number that can pretty comfortably come up. He's a much better shooter than that in general. But yeah, otherwise, this is just what Anthony Davis does. Jimmy Harden is your number two ranked player, averaging 36.5 and 9.5 with 2 steals on 48 and 86. And much like Davis, this is just who Harden is. And I'd be pretty stunned if these two guys aren't the number one and number two fantasy players for the rest of the season, or when the season actually does end. Yeah, big numbers from those guys so far this season, pretty much in line with what we expected. The number three player is Kevin Durant. Some of that is fueled by the time he had without Steph Curry. 32-point average, 7.5 rebounds and assists, with a steal, with a block, and 2.5 threes, shooting 52 and 38 from the field and from three-point land. He's going to hover in that 3-6 type zone, I would imagine. I think that the playoff rest stuff is overblown with Warriors players. Durant's just going to be in that solid top area. While the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, comes in at number four, averaging 38 minutes a game, 29 points, 8 rebounds, over 2 steals, over a block, 2.5 threes on elite percentages. I talked about it in the preseason that I thought he had a significant chance to be a top five player. He isn't that over the course of the season, but this is just an indication of what he can be. And nothing here looks really fluky. Yeah, 51 and 89 are high percentages, and 44% from three is high. It's not that high for a guy like Leonard, who is very efficient. 29 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block. Nothing outrageous there with what Leonard's doing. He could remain a top 5 player for the rest of the season. And the minutes are sky high, something which we did anticipate coming across from San Antonio. The number 5 player over the last 2 weeks is Steph Curry. Only played the 4 games, 34 minutes a night, 30 points with 5.5 triples. That is insane. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1.3 steals, and his usual stupid efficiency, 51, 96, and 52% from deep. Just nonsense-type numbers from Steph Curry. And that top 5 is a pretty good representation of what I think the top 5 has a chance to be at the end of the season. Maybe someone like Yanni or Karl Anthony Towns can jump into that mix. But if that was the top 5 at the end of the season, I don't think too many people would be shocked. This is where it starts to go a little bit weird. Damian Lillard comes in at number 6. Averaging 30 points with 7 assists and 4 triples with 1.2 steals, shooting 48%. Now, one of the biggest concerns with Lillard's game from fantasy is that low field goal percentage, which is really up over the last 6 games. He is also a pretty low steals guy, and averaging 1.2 over the last 6 games elevates him slightly, but it's not outrageous. He's a guy who's probably a 9-12 type fantasy guy. Who's just marginally up at the moment, while Gianni Antetokounmpo is the 7th ranked player, averaging 24, 14, and 6.5 assists, with 1.5 steals and 1.7 blocks on a fantastic 57% from the field. And his free throws have actually improved, but he takes so many of them that 72.5%, which is what he's shooting over the last 6 games, 8.5 attempts, that actually makes you a significant negative. In fact, the Z score for that category is over -1, which is pretty large in terms of, you know, guys in that top 12 discussion. In terms of the biggest negative impact that category has, it's the 4th highest negative impact. The 2 highest negative impacts are Russell Westbrook's field goal percentage and his free throw percentage, and the next 2 big negative impacts are Giannis Antetokounmpo's 3s and free throw percentage. So for those of you wondering, oh, well, Giannis should be 2, he should be 3, the reason is he's got 2 really big negative categories in his overall production. Same with Russell Westbrook at number 8, who is averaging 22, 13, and 12 with 2 steals. That's fantastic. He's hitting 2 threes a game over his last 5, shooting 46% from the field. You know, that's pretty solid for Westbrook. Sorry, I said Westbrook's field goal percentage. I mean, his block numbers are one of the biggest negatives, because he hasn't had a single block in 5 games. But 65% from Russ on 4 free throw attempts. At this point, we just have to think that Russell Westbrook is pretty close to being a punt free throw guy. Now, A negative 1.3 standard score is not unrecoverable from. In fact, if you had Kevin Durant on your team during this same time, he was a 3.51. So you're already in significant positive territory in that category. But it's obviously not a good start to have Westbrook and his poor free throw percentage, which has lasted for two seasons now. And I'm not really sure why it's been as bad as it has been. The next couple of guys are probably two big surprise players in the top 10. Number 9 is Drew Holiday, averaging 37.5 minutes for almost 24 points, 4.5 rebounds, 8.3 assists, which is pretty bloody good for a guy who isn't a point guard. 1.9 steals and 0.8 blocks on 53-80, including 39% from three. Now, his free throws and three-point percentage had been down this season, but they're starting to trend back in the right direction. 80% over the last eight games, 39 from three over the last eight games. The legendary field goal percentage is there. High blocks, high steals, high assists, good scoring. He has been an absolute monster this season and really putting together good numbers. Bob Covington is the number 10 ranked player, 36 minutes a night, averaging 18.5 points. Now, this is one that's prime for regression because he's shooting 56% from the field. This is a low 40s percentage guy normally, 86 from the line, 43 from three. So there's room for that to drop. But 7.5 rebounds is fine, 2.6 triples is fine, 2.2 steals is normal, 1.2 blocks is normal. So all of that from Covington is relatively sustainable. It's just that 56% shooting and 43% from three is unlikely to continue from him unless something's just really clicked in Minnesota and now he becomes a very good shooter. He's always been a dangerous shooter, but a fluky, streaky, low percentage guy. But at the moment, that's clearly not the case as he's putting up career highs in field goal percentage and three-point percentage so far this season. We've also seen a massive uptick in his free throw attempt rate for a guy who shoots as well as he does. Last season, he got to the line 1.7 times per game. This year is at 2.2, but importantly, over the last five, 4.4 free throw attempts per game. That is a massive increase to his value, and that's part of the reason he's here. His teammate comes in at number 11, Karl-Anthony Towns, 22.5 and 10.5 with 1.7 steals and 1.7 blocks. And the only thing keeping him from a top five spot here is the fact that he's down at 48% from the field. If he was back at that 56 number that we've seen from him through his early part of his career, then he'd be very much right up the top there. He's still shooting 42% from three. It's just those two-pointers aren't at the elite level they were before. The difference between him being the 12th best player and the third best player are blocks. Really, realistically, over the course of the season, 1.7 over the last six is impressive, but there was a six-block game in there, so that skews those results a little bit. Paulie George is your 12th ranked player, averaging 24, 8, and 4.5 with almost three triples and 1.6 steals. He's been up and down with his efficiency this season, and the production's dipped a bit with Westbrook back, but 48 and 85 are nice efficiency numbers, and still cranking out the 4.5 assists, which is something that I thought would drop more significantly than what it has with Westbrook back in the lineup. But George is going to hover in this 12 to 16-ish type of range, I would imagine. A couple of guys coming up next who are pretty surprising. Al Horford, the 13th ranked player, averaging 18 and 6 with a steal, two blocks, and 61% shooting. So it's the two blocks and the 61% shooting that have Horford going from a guy who's probably a 50, 45 to 65 type of a guy up into number 13. That's just how big of a jump those two positive categories give him. And then, of course, when your field goal percentage goes up, your scoring goes up. So that 18 points over his last three games, and he's missed some time, is not realistic to continue. While De'Aaron Fox at number 14 also a surprise. 19, 2 and 8 looks great. 2.2 steals and 0.8 blocks are huge reasons why he's up here. And 49% from the field, including 46% from three. Now, those numbers are unrealistic for Fox to continue. I think it was only last week that I was talking about him as a potential buy low guy because his field goal percentage has plummeted to like 37%. All this should do is give you an indication that he's quite streaky and he can be perhaps a buy low guy when it falls off, or a real sell high guy. If someone wants to buy him as a top 20 player, I'd sell the shit out of that, and I'd be happy to palm him off for as impressive as he's been. That sort of shooting, I don't think sticks. The 15th ranked guy is Nikola Vucevic of the Orlando Magic. Just keeps chugging away. I don't think he's getting traded this season. 32 minutes, 23 and 12 with over four assists. Lack of defense here, half a steal and half a block. But that 56%, which is significantly up on what he's done really at any point in his career, yeah, being able to maintain that high of a field goal percentage while still taking four threes a game and hitting 42% of them has been a massive part of his fantasy evolution to become this top 20 player. I think, you know, top 15 is probably unrealistic for Vooch, but I was thinking maybe he dropped outside the top 30. I don't really think that's going to happen anymore for Vooch. So really impressive stuff. Jimmy Butler is your 16th ranked player, averaging 23, 6, and 3 with 1.8 steals. So it's good to see him back here without averaging, you know, 2.5 steals. Those numbers are very realistic for Butler. 47, 92, and 32% from 3. Nothing off about that at all. I think you should be looking at him as a pretty solid top 25 player the rest of the way, while Kyrie Irving also is solid at number 17. 22, 4, and 7 with a steal on 53 and 75. Maybe the field goal percentage dips. Maybe the free throw percentage rises. This is about the right range for Irving. Number 18, Bradley Beal, 26 points with 2 triples, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. The blocks still remain really high, 0.7 blocks, and he is at career-high numbers for blocking shots this season, taking a cue from his teammate Johnny Wall. Elite efficiency, 51 and 82 for a true shooting of 60%. He is, I think, probably more of a 20 to 25 guy rather than top 20, but we're really nitpicking there. Number 19 is Nikola Jokic, who's averaging 17, 9, and 9 with 1.3 steals. The reason that he is not a top 10 player is because over the last 6 games, he's shooting 17% from 3 and 46% from the field. This is a guy who should be mid to high 50s in field goal percentage and mid to high 30s in 3-point percentage. Those two numbers come back up. His scoring goes up, his threes go up, and he's a comfortable top 10 guy. So if you can buy him for, you know, I would very easily trade Vucevic to get Jokic or anyone in this sort of a range. If I'm trading Bradley Beal to get Jokic, it's pretty straightforward to me. I think that those numbers are going to come back up for Jokic. And the 20th ranked player is LeBron James, averaging 28, 7, and 6.5 with 1.4 steals. Why is he down this far? Well, he's shooting 65% from the line on 7 attempts, which is the single largest negative categorical impact over the top 20 players at a negative 2.2 in terms of standard score. The next highest negative contribution is Russell Westbrook's free throw percentage as well, which is only a negative 1.29. So it just shows you the difference. Both guys, LeBron shooting 65.3, Westbrook shooting 65.0. So on the surface, you'd look at that and go, that's equivalent. It's not, because LeBron's taking an additional 3 attempts per game, and that is how big of an impact that has on overall fantasy value. So don't be fooled just by the number. Attempts make such a big impact, and that 7 versus 4 attempts is basically the difference while Westbrook's 8 and LeBron is number 20. So that does it for the top 20 players over the last 2 weeks for fantasy basketball. Fantasy check-in time for the Charlotte Hornets. Kemba Walker's form has really fallen off over the last couple of weeks. He's outside the top 60. That's in large part due to the fact that he's shooting just 37% from the field. His usage has also taken a bit of a tumble, with guys like Tony Parker and Jeremy Lamb taking on a little bit of a larger role in the office, down to office in the offense. Under 28% usage for Kemba over the last 7 games. 19 points, 4 rebounds, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. This is obviously real low end for Kemba. What he was doing at the start of the season was unrealistically high. He's going to settle in that top 25, top 30 type of range. Jeremy Lamb, clear must roster player on this Hornets team. 53rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Big minutes, big production, big usage, good efficiency, good rebounder. Shouldn't be on any waiver wires anywhere. And the other guy I think we need to pay attention to here is the increase in form in Cody Zeller, whose minutes have spiked over the last couple of weeks. 9 and 5 he's averaging, but it's a block, it's a steal, and it's really good efficiency, 61 and 79%. He's barely outside the top 100, but he's rostered in only 21% of Yahoo leagues, meaning people in 14-team leagues are really asleep at the wheel for Cody Zeller. He can have back-end 12-team value as well, but he shouldn't be available in 79% of leagues. Marvin Williams is putting together some okay numbers. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people saying that Marvin is a must-roster player for 12-team leagues. I don't believe that. Over the last 2 weeks, which has been his best stretch of the season, he's the 164th ranked player in 27 minutes, averaging 10 and 7 with 0.8 steals, 2.3 triples on 40 and 70. Now, the field goal percentage could come up. He should block a couple of shots, which has been absent over these last 6 games that Marv has played. But he is a low upside player who I would much rather have Cody Zeller over, Derek Favors, those sort of players, Jonas Valanciunas, in that similar sort of range. I just don't see it for Marv, but he is getting a few more minutes there. Miles Bridges, I just don't think the opportunity is really going to ever arrive for him this season. He's outside the top 180 over the last 2 weeks, and Nick Batum is the 179th ranked player, so barely inside the top 180. I think that Batum is a 10-team league drop, and it's pretty close in 12-teamers. You know, you never just drop someone for the sake of dropping them, but it depends who else is on my wire. If Jeremy Lamb's there, that's an easy decision to take Lamb over Batum. He's not a must-hold guy. The assists are not there for Batum, only 2.9 per game over the last seven. The shooting this season had been pretty good, only 39% in his last eight, but over the course of the season, it hadn't even been efficiency that was his problem. Frank Kaminsky also taken the backup center role here, so 20-team, 18-team leagues, you want to take somewhat of a look at Frank the Tank. Fantasy check-in time for the Chicago Bulls, an absolute shit show of an organization and a franchise. I could spend 20 minutes talking about the absolute dysfunction with the coaching and Jim Boylan and Gar Foreman and John Paxson and how all three of those clowns need to go, because they do. But let's focus a little bit on what's happening here. Lauri Markkanen has returned. He is the 61st ranked player in only 26 minutes per game. He's going to hover in that 45 to 65 type of range. His shooting isn't quite back yet, only 38% from the field, but his block and steal numbers are a little bit elevated over his rookie season. I could see the steal numbers in particular coming back down. I don't have as high hopes for Markkanen as what others do, but he's going to be solidly in this range while Justin Holiday continues to impress. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what Holiday does with Dunn and Portis back in the lineup. Is it going to be Holiday that loses the minutes, or is it going to be Jabari Parker who finds himself pretty much out of the rotation? That'll be something to watch. Holiday, if he remains getting 34 minutes a night or 33 minutes a night, he's a must-roster guy. Two steals and over 2.5 threes over his last seven games. He's giving you, you know, solid enough numbers in the assist category to be a help as well, but there is a risk that he loses quite a bit of playing time. I don't see it. I think Parker's going to be the one in trouble. And Jabari at the moment is outside the top 150 anyway, and I think it's only going to get worse for him. He is not a 10-team league guy, and he is not a 12-team league guy. It's going to get really rough for him with these guys back. Ryan Archer, Jackano's a top 130 player over the last 2 weeks. Dunn is back, so Arch is reduced to being a 20-team league guy as that backup point guard, while Big Shaq Harrison, who'd been one of the best steals streamers in the NBA, his value is going to tumble because he's probably not even going to be a rotation player anymore. LaVine, at least the efficiency has gone back up for Zach. He's giving you nice assist numbers. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in alongside Chris Dunn. They've played one game together this season. Will those assist numbers tumble for Zach? If I could get any sort of top 35 value back for LaVine, he's the 38th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, I would absolutely do that. I just think that with Portis and Dunn and Markkanen all back now, he's going to lose some usage, and I think he's going to lose some assists as well. So that'll be something to watch with the Chicago Bulls. I'm buying Wendell Carter Jr. The numbers recently don't look good, but I am buying him, and I still think that he is a must-roster player. Fantasy check-in time for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Over the last 2 weeks, they have just one top 100 player, and that is Tristan Thompson, who has been absolutely fantastic, really in two categories, rebounds and field goal percentage, averaging 13 boards and 58% from the field in 35 minutes. Those minutes feel really high for me. I don't know what Larry Drew is going to do. It's almost invariably going to be the wrong decision, but at some point, you would have to think that he won't be riding Thompson for 36, 37 minutes a night, as he's been doing at times. I still think that Thompson is a 12-team league guy. I'm not sure that it's going to last all season. Well, Larry Nance is up and down. He is averaging 28 minutes a night, though, over the last 2 weeks, so that's important. But the steals and blocks, which really do fuel his value, haven't been there. 62% from the field is nice. I think he's a fringe 12-team league guy, but I wouldn't be stunned if that value pushes up. A couple of guys who I talk about as being must-roster players, but their ranks don't necessarily reflect that. Alec Burks and the young Bull Padawan, Colin Sexton. Burks is the 158th ranked player, and Sexton is the 160th ranked player. Now, Burks is playing 27 minutes a night, averaging 13, 5, and 3. The shooting at 39% is an issue. He doesn't really help too much in the peripheral numbers, but he is, at the moment, a starting shooting guard. That could very easily change. Well, Sexton is playing 35 minutes a night and averaging 18 points. But the fact that he's still the 160th ranked player despite doing that shows you how limited he can be. Half a steal, no blocks, 3.3 assists, 3.8 rebounds, and one triple. 88% from the line is great, but only two attempts. He just doesn't do enough in those other areas. But getting the points contributions from both Sexton and Burks can be very useful fantasy options. They're just going to be quite negative in other areas. Jordy Clarkson and Chetty Osman also both outside the top 180. I think Osman is a 12-team league player as well, but you need to be punting field goal percentage. It's a massive negative on what he does, but the team is committed to giving him minutes like they are with Sexton, and that gives him a level of appeal there. Hood and Clarkson are more 12-team league type of flyer players. The guy I would watch for on this team is Ante Zizic if they do happen to move Tristan Thompson at any point. And Zizic plays 24 minutes a night, he would really jump into the 14-team conversation. He's not doing much at the moment, but he can be a Tristan Thompson type of a player who blocks more shots. And that can be a very interesting fantasy guy. So someone just to keep an eye on for this Cleveland Cavaliers team. Not doing much at the moment, but we may see something from Zizic appear later on in the season.